Omagyanatimirandasyagyanagyanashalakaya Chakshuram vilitam jena tasmai shri gurave Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhano Sute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhyascha Pasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Iti Namine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Shri Varshabha Navi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Shri Varshabha Navi Devi Daita Das, another name of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. Madhurya Jwala Premadhyaya Shri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namastute. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who deliver devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. Namaste Gauravani Simurtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Birupada Siddhanta Dvantaharine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So today is most auspicious day, being the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is the spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada. Both are also having the name Prabhupada. Prabhupada means one who is all the master's seats, lotus feet. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the title Prabhupada is given to those who are exalted in their position, like Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada or Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Srila Prabhupada, and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So when we, during the discussion, when we say our Prabhupada, it'll be Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And when I say Prabhupada, that means Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. One time, our Prabhupada was asked about his Guru Maharaj, and he says that, what can I say? He's a Vaikuntha man. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement, he prayed that somehow a person be sent so that the Krishna consciousness, the propagation of the knowledge about Krishna, can be very, very strongly done. Because in those days there are so many aprasampradayas. Aprasampradaya means they're relating Krishna consciousness, but it is not according to the sampradaya. That means it's unauthorized. They see Krishna consciousness in a very cheap way. They say that by the process of very easily performing, not even according to the religious principles or the sastras, one can attain Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he identified around 13 of them. One of them is Sahaja. Actually, all of them are Sahajas. But the name is Sahaja is there, taking things very cheaply. So he was praying to the Supreme Lord, somehow there is this personality to be sent to save the disciplic succession and to establish Krishna consciousness in its genuine nature. So the grandfather also of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is a very advanced soul, a great mystic. And he also predicted that Bhaktivinoda Thakur will have a son who will be considered as a great personality to help establish the principles of religion in its genuine nature. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in Jagannath Puri, he was a magistrate, actually, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he took birth, there was this umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. It's like you've seen this brahmana. They have this brahman thread they put around their neck and across their torso. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he took birth, this umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like that of the Brahman thread. And later on in his life, these markings can be still seen. He was given name Bimala Prasad because the first prasada, Annaprasan, the grains that he took is from Bimala Devi, from the Jagannath temple. There was a time when the Jagannath Rath Yatra was being held, and Rath was passing by the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jagannath Puri, that the Rath Yatra cart stopped. And because of his position, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the family can go up and have close darshan. So they brought the mother Bhagavati, she brought the young Bhaktisiddhanta Bimala Prasad on the cart of Jagannath, and lo and behold, there was a garland that fell and directly went on the shoulder or on the neck of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So this was kind of indication that this boy is not an ordinary person. Directly Lord Jagannath, seeing his devotee, gave this garland directly to his devotee. Right from the early stage, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he set in such a way that he'll be an example. Acharya means one who acts through his example. That one day when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he brought some mangoes. And these mangoes is meant for Thakurji. But somehow or other, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he took some of these mangoes and he was reprimanded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, saying that, oh, what is this? This is supposed to be offered first to Thakurji and now you have taken. So he took this into his heart, that starting from that day, he was just very young, maybe 3 years old or something. And he promised that I will never take mangoes for the rest of my life. So whenever his disciples will offer him mangoes, he says, no, I made an offense, I cannot take mangoes. But they will offer him unripe mangoes. He will eat unripe mangoes. Maybe it will make it chutney. Yes. So he will do that. See, great personalities, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, they have different features that separate from an ordinary person. The different parts of their bodies are so well described. It's like the nose, the head. It was mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that some are raised, some are long. It's like his hands are almost touching his knees. His eyes, like a lotus petal, elongated, the chin, the forehead, all of these different symptoms of a Mahapurush can be found on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita even at a very young age, a young boy, and he can explain them very eloquently. when he was in school, in college, he amongst his friends, they formed a society, August Assembly, where all the members are brahmacharis. And not everyone last to become brahmachari. He is the only last one to become, because he was a naistika brahmachari. Naistika brahmachari means one who did not have any connection with women for the whole life. He was like this. He was so powerful. His brain is so big. That's why, in proportion to his body, he has a big head. It's considered as having an encyclopedia mind. The brain is so much. He knows all the subject matter. He does not have any other... He does not want to play, just like an ordinary child will do. What he will do actually is he will read the books of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is all what he will do all the time. And he learned from his father how to write the books. His printing press, later on when he started to build temples or constructed temples, he will also have a printing press in the temple room, and they will do puja to this printing press. And he considered them as the real Brihat Midanga, because when we play Midanga, it can be only heard in few blocks. But this Brihat Midanga, where the glorification of the name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord can be heard even on the other side of the world. This is the potency of books. We have many devotees who receive books from different countries, and they join in that way. Some devotees, we've heard, like from Russia, they receive books in Australia, and then they join in London, and then they serve in Russia. It's like, this is what we call Brihat Midanga. And this is, even Srila our Prabhupada, he says, I learned everything from my father, except writing books, except publishing books, which I've learned from my Guru Maharaj. He said that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is very powerful. He's a very powerful preacher. He is called as Singha Guru. Singha Guru means like lion. Lion Guru. That those who are scholarly and understood the depth of his knowledge, they don't want to confront him. He said that his glance, his eyes, when can be so powerful that no one dare to look straight at him. It's like the glance of Lord Vishnu impregnates the whole Mahatattva and the whole creation that took place. So, very powerful personalities like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, their eyes almost could burn anyone who are not a devotee, who are not, you know, like impersonators or pretenders. That those people like that, they cannot look straight on the eyes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But at the same time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is very soft. Parts of his body are soft, just like his feet. His lotus feet is so soft like butter, that when you touch, it says when you touch his feet, as if there is no bones. His feature is that he's like 6 feet 1 inches tall, or 6 feet 2 inches tall. Very tall personality. And his bodily form has a very broad shoulder, and his chest is like that of a woman, like some kind of breast, because of the potency that he has of being a brahmachari for all life long. He's very, very kind to his disciples, especially. He will ask the brahmacharis, "Have you taken prasad? What is the taste of prasad? Did you like it?" And at night time, between like 10 and 11, because he is the last one to sleep and he's the first one to get up, he will check whether the brahmacharis have mosquito nets or not. He will check if the brahmacharis are sleeping properly. Because he wanted to be sure that their service will be properly executed. And if their health is not good, or if they're sick, then they will not be able to execute their service accordingly. He does not want his disciples, brahmacharis, to take milk every day. If they're gonna take milk, they have to take a little amount, but not every day. I've seen some brahmacharis who take 1 liter of milk every day. Because this is not good, because it's very powerful, especially cow's milk. It could be very agitating sometimes. He uses everything for Krishna's service. He's the first one, almost like the first one who rode on a vehicle. That's like when he went to Radhakun, his vehicle was there. And he's being criticized. Why is he wearing this sewn cloth or shoes? He doesn't like brahmacharis wearing shoes. This is Gaudiya Math. This is very strong, very austere. He doesn't want even his sannyasis to use the car unless they go for preaching. He has a bodyguard. He's big bodyguard. He can eat 28 chapatis every night. And he has a gun. This bodyguard. This is for prestige. He's being paid. But he doesn't need. Doesn't need a bodyguard, because he depends fully on Krishna. He's very strict, especially he's not fond of preaching to women directly. There is the wife of OBL Kapoor, and the wife is almost like a granddaughter in relationship to him. And she wants to speak to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and he said, "No, if you want to speak, I don't speak alone. I can speak with other devotees." And there is one Zamindar also. His mother was like 60 years old, and she wants to speak to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he says, "No, you wait downstairs. I'll speak to your son." when he gave initiation to the wife of Obi El Kapoor, it was done without seeing her face. When there is a class given by him, there is a screen between separating the man and the woman. They don't see each other. He's very strict in this way. He sets an example as an acharya. The Gaudama, they have so many properties. They have elephants, they have horses, they have also a garden. Now in this garden, no one wants to work. Everyone was like, you know, a little hesitant. They don't want to do any service to the garden, to till the land or raise the vegetables and so on. So what he did is that he asked everybody and still no one wants to do it. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he does not force anybody to do anything. He will request them to do it because he believed that forcing somebody to do something will not invoke devotional service. Because devotional service means voluntary. So what he did is he took a basket where to use for gardening. He went to the garden himself with this basket, and all day long he tilled the land and do the gardening. And the next day, everybody in the mat practically went to the garden and did the work. He says that everyone, the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis, grihastas, they should come to the morning and evening program. This is a must. This is part of the sadhana. Sadhana is very important in order for us to develop our love for Krishna. He says, one should not read too much. At the utmost, they should only have 4 books. Now, we should not collect too many books, especially reading this Rasa Lila, relationship between Radha and Krishna. This is for the Paramahamsas. It's like if you go to Loy Bazaar, you'll be able to see hundreds and hundreds of titles of books over there. He said, one should read Chaitanya Bhagavat first, because Chaitanya Bhagavat was written in a simple Bengali language and not with many philosophical statements that one can easily understand. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he himself, he read Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita over 108 times. He said, first read Chaitanya Bhagavat, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we'll be able to relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says Bhagavad Gita, even though it's the ABC, is also for the scholars. For general, you see, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his language is very, very difficult to understand. You need a dictionary to read his books, practically. Like, you say, the Brahma Samhita. You've read the Brahma Samhita? The purports that he gave over there is very difficult to understand. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he would preach, especially, he uses this high English, very, very difficult to understand English, especially this is meant for the scholars, for the academics. He would preach to them. He would preach to those who already knew the Vedic philosophy.
He would preach against Mayavad philosophy, against Sahajas. Our Prabhupada also, he would preach, but the difference is our Prabhupada will use simple language. Our Prabhupada will use simple language so that everyone, even a layman in the street, can easily understand it. Our Prabhupada will preach in such a way that he will always hammer and focus that you are not this body. You are a spirit soul. Krishna is God. We are all his servants. Our main goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. His goal also is to save everyone, but especially his language is so difficult, which is specially meant for scholars and those who are like sastrically very inclined. Those who already know the philosophy. Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, he preached to those who doesn't know the philosophy. Simultaneously one and the same. They're different in their approach, but the goal is the same, to get anyone whom they met and all those who read these books to become devotees. Simultaneously one and different. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also has around, can't remember now, 11 or 13 Babaji's. He initiated Babaji's. You know, Babaji means those who are only the whole day long they're absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, nothing else. Our movement is of Gosti Anandi. Gosti Anandi means we preach. We broadcast the glories, name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. We go out and tell others about Krishna. Now the Babaji's, they are very exalted devotees as well, but they're not concerned helping others to become Krishna conscious. They're only absorbed about themselves. And they don't talk to anybody. So he initiated some Babaji's. Prabhupada also had a Babaji disciple. In America, he initiated one disciple. But there was a rule for these Babaji's disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. They are not allowed to give class. They are not allowed to talk with any members of the mat. And they have to come for the morning and evening programs. It's a rule. But they also have to chant all day long. Nothing else. So it is not like modern day Babaji's, you know, trying to pull people. You go to Radha Kund, they try to pull you to join them. No, that's not real Babaji. No more Babaji like that in the, it's very strict in those days. Devotees, they even at the present moment, they Prabhupada gave everything in his books. So we don't need to go outside and try to figure out what is the highest in Krishna consciousness. It is not that, you know, you have to go and search where is Krishna, where is Radharani? Oh, maybe it's there in Radhakund. Let me go and see those Babajis over there. You know, that's not our process. Prabhupada says, work now, samadhi later. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, knowingly the mentality of his disciples, so he gave this very high, elevated initiation. See, usually the Babajis, you can only receive from a Babaji. And Bhaktisiddhanta is not a Babaji, so how can he give initiation in Babaji? Because he's a Paramahamsa. He's beyond Babaji. He can do that. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he says that by example, by setting a good example, others will follow. You don't have to push. You don't have to tell. But he teaches his students in such a way that ultimately they'll develop love of God. Many brahmacharis are joining in those days. And the parents of the brahmacharis, they will come to the mat to take their sons back to home. And what he will do is he will hide them under his bed. And says, no, I don't see them. They're not here. They're not here. And in 1919, police will come to the mat and says, no, this is not proper. But they cannot find those sons of them. And he was telling his brahmacharis that when the parents, or the mother and the father will cry, please come home, please come home. Then he will say, this is not the cry of your parents. This is the cry of Maya. Just trying to get you back home. One time he has the sannyasi disciples. He has a lot of sannyasi disciples. And one time, one of the wife of one of his disciples, sannyasi disciples, somehow or other took away the disciple, the sannyasi disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was crying. He said he's not able to save this disciple from Maya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is such an amazing personality that wherever he goes, there'll be thousands of people also coming to see him. When he did the parikrama in Radhakund, thousands and thousands of devotees came to see him and also did parikrama with him. This is the place where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also in Radhakund told our Prabhupada that whenever you get books or whenever you get money, print books. Just one second here. The description of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, there's not many books written about his biography. There is one book by Rupa Bilas Prabhu also. There's one book by His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Bhakti Bikas, right? Bhakti Bikas Swami, that explains the different pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, where he met this one person. His name is Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu. See, many sannyasis, disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, they don't want to tell about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But he met this one person, his name is Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, whom related many different pastimes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur will call his disciples as Prabhu. And whenever he will offer namaskar, he will always say, Dasosmi, I am your servant. This is very important because we always think that we are master. We are called Prabhu, and we think also that we are master. But at the same time, it should not be. It says here that people will often try to touch his feet, but no one is able to touch his feet. It's like in India, you have these even small children. They will be told by their parents, if they see a sadhu, you touch his feet, right? To get the blessings. But no. Even an ordinary, like a young boy, normal young boys, especially, it says here, ordinarily in Bengal, especially at that time for young boys, and even nowadays, they would like to touch the lotus feet of sadhus, those who are wearing saffron cloth. And they're not able to do it. They don't want. It says here, just read a little bit here. Yes, he's an expert astrologer. That's why he was given this, he wrote a book on Jyoti Shastra. That's why he was given this Bhakti Siddhanta, Siddhanta Siromani. He's very expert in mathematics and astrology. And sometimes he would read the palms of his disciples, saying, no, you're not going to be successful if you become grihasthas. Remain brahmachari. And sometimes he would say, oh, yes. You must get married. You cannot be a brahmachari for a long time. It's not good for you. He will do that to his disciples. You look at the hands sometimes. Yeah, he says here, one time he looked at a brahmachari's hand and says, you must get married. You will not be able to stay a brahmachari. He would... He's not, I mean, his voice is not that sweet when it comes to kirtan. So he does not lead kirtan at all. But he will be there in the kirtan. He'll be in the corner and watching devotees dancing up and down. And sometimes devotees will circumambulate him. And he will let them do that. Every day also he will go and parikrama of the deities, but only one time, and let others do it four times. It's like if you go to Radha Damodar temple, because there is a Shila there, Govardhan Shila of Sanatan Goswami, that if you do four times parikrama, then you'll be able to consider it as doing Govardhan Parikrama. Is there a way here where devotees can do Parikrama of our deities? No. Well, you can do that also, doing Parikrama, if you just go around like this, standing in one spot And if you go like this, that is also doing parikrama at the same time. You've heard of that? No? In your mind, you're also doing parikrama, even without physically going around. So the Gaudimat, in Gaudimat, they will do that, a parikrama. Some temples are constructed in such a way that there is a way how they can do parikrama of the deities. Let me see here now. Yes, in kirtan, he would ask everybody to chant. Usually in kirtan, the midanga player doesn't chant because he's just like only absorbed in playing the midanga. And we notice this also. You notice this in the kirtan? Huh? The midanga player doesn't chant? But no, he says no. He says, you must chant also to the midanga player. He is very meticulous in such a way that all the answers can be answered. One time, there was a professor in BHU, Benares Hindu University, and he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, I have a question, a very important question. I want to ask you. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, okay, you see the pujaris first. He's there in the pujari room, and you can see him. He says, no, I don't want to see him. I want to ask you a question. See, I'll answer your question, but first you go and see the pujari. And then when he saw the pujari was cleaning the deity paraphernalia. And he asked, your spiritual master asked me to see you. I have a question for him. He says, okay, then the pujari says, why don't you help me? Why don't you assist me in cleaning? And then he asked, do you have a question? He says, no, I don't have a question. So he went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then he asked, okay, so what is your question? He says, no, my question is already answered. Just by helping the pujari. See, in order to understand Krishna, we need this humility and surrender. Even in the old days, early days of our movement, the first thing that if a person will join our society, first thing that we will do is that we ask him to wash pots. I don't know if you do that here. Do you do that? No. You engage them immediately in Sankirtan, in preaching. That happened also. I remember when I joined, I was engaged immediately in Sankirtan or book distribution, because you need a lot of humility in order to distribute books. So it is like that. Anything else here? Yeah, we read here. Once a very prominent rich man came to the Gaudiya Mat, and while taking prasadam, asked again and again for rasgulas. Saraswati Thakur asked him, are you eating prasadam or prasadam is eating you? You should not eat prasad, as prasad is the bhokta enjoyer. You are the bhogya enjoyed. Don't try to eat prasad. It is not material thing. This is similar to the advice he often gave, saying, "Don't try to see Jagannath. Jagannath is the seer, so let him see you." So it's the same thing. It's like devotees, they're pushing themselves to see the Lord, the deities, right? To have darshan as close as possible. So when you're having the darshan of the Lord, who is having the darshan? Are you having the darshan of the Lord, or the Lord is having darshan of you? Which is which? It can be very, very, very far. And as long as Krishna Balaram and Sisi Radha, Radhikaraman, can see you, who is having darshan? You are having the darshan, or the darshan is the Lord to you? Prabhupada says, Prabhupada means Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, act in such a way that Krishna would want to see you. Act in such a way that you don't, that you are wanting to see Krishna. Isn't it? Now, in the eyes of Krishna, everyone is equal. Whether you're a pujari or a sweeper floor, you take care of the accounts or a book distributor, everyone is equal. Now, what is the difference is that whoever is the most surrender and doing one's service with humility and not with any false ego, he is the closest to Krishna. He is the closest to Krishna. One can be a pujari and physically be so close to Krishna, but if that pujari is doing his service and proud that I am so close to Krishna, but does not have the same love and devotion as a sweeper, that person is closer to Krishna than that pujari who is doing his service with false ego. So, don't try to see Jagannath. Jagannath is the seer, so let him see you. Says here, there were many beggars at the Sakshi Gopal temple once when the Gaudiya Math Grihasthas were passing. However, they didn't give any donations, thinking, "We shall give to God. Why give to the poor? The karmis they're giving to the poor." Sarasvati Thakur became very sorry upon hearing this and said, "Inside the body of the poor there is the super soul. Lord Chaitanya fed the poor. Don't dislike that. It is not bhakti to hate the beggars. You are not giving to the poor, but to the super soul." One time also, Prabhupada says, of course, in the Holy Dham, there are so many beggars. That if you're going to give a donation, Prabhupada gives donation also. He will have, you know, like coins given to them. That a beggar who's running after you is not a beggar. A beggar who's running after you to beg some money, he's not a beggar, he's a professional. A beggar who is just sitting down and just waiting, if you give or if you not give, he's satisfied. That's a real beggar. You understand? Because so many will haggle you and pull your dhoti or pull your sari to get some money. Our Guru Maharaj is like that also. He will give donations going in the parikrama. So it's good, because if you don't give, then sometimes the heart becomes hard. One has to be a little compassionate, but real giving of alms is giving Krishna consciousness. So, there's not a lot of time that we have that we're able to tell so many things about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. We just relate so a little of his character, his qualities, and in this way we will have a glimpse of what is the nature of a pure devotee like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. If you have any questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Maharaj, just like you mentioned, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would not force anyone. He would only make requests.
Yes.
And at the same time, from his personality it appears, he was a very, very strict person, just like there were rules for Babaji's.
Yes.
It appears something
simultaneously one and different. Yeah. See, he knows. See, an expert, one should be like an expert doctor. You know how to mold a person. It's like Prabhupada is like that. He can chastise his leaders very heavily because out of their responsibility they have to be strong. The heart of a devotee is like made of pot. Some strong devotees, they're made of gold or metal. No, they can handle chastisements, heavy chastisement. And some devotees who are new, their heart is made of the pot made of clay. It can easily break. So you have to be expert. One can handle heavy chastisement, one can handle little chastisement. You cannot say the same thing to this other person who can handle little chastisement and you chastise that heavily. He'll break and may go away. It says that it takes gallons of blood to make a devotee, but it takes more, hundreds and hundreds of gallons of blood to maintain a devotee. So it's not so easy. The best teaching is through example. After reading that, after hearing this, you said you become a very good devotee. Everybody will just want to be like you. You don't have to. It's like action speaks louder than words. You shout at a fool will never hear you. But if you show an example to a fool, he'll understand, yes, I should follow him. That's the way it should be. So in Krishna consciousness is like that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he teaches like that. But sometimes we have to be a little bit hard. Sometimes we have to be a little bit strong. Our Prabhupada says, the temple is not meant for the crazies and the lazies. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you will not find him taking rest, but sometimes he says he takes rest for half an hour during the daytime because he gets up real early and takes rest really late. So our devotees should not take rest 3-4 hours during the day. If it is, then that is laziness. Prabhupada says, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that, you know, we have to work hard for Krishna. We have to work hard for Guru and Krishna. And if you saw an example of how doing it, then others will become inspired to do it as an example. So, yes, he gives different instructions, different devotees, according to time, place and circumstances. It's like these Babaji's. He's very strict on them also. He cannot just chant and don't come for the morning and evening program. You still have to do it. That's part of it. It's not so easy. Not so easy. But it becomes so easy if one is surrendered. It becomes very difficult. Krishna consciousness is very difficult if you're not surrendered. The more you surrender, then the more the process is easy. Any other questions regarding this?
Thank you, Maharaj. Very wonderfully explained. You said you used to set the examples.
Yes.
So I couldn't. I would like to clarify that while doing the parikrama, he used to himself do one parikrama and others used to do four. Why first?
See, if he did not do parikrama, no one will also do anything. He does anything and everything, but not to the extent that he will do also the whole thing. In the kirtan, he's not a singer, but he's in the kirtan. Sometimes you see devotees, there's a big kirtan going on, and other devotees, they're chanting their rounds in the corner. Sometimes you see devotees in the kirtan, and they're like this. A big kirtan going on. No. When there is a kirtan, you let yourself loose. In the kirtan, you forget even who you are. In the kirtan, you forget your family members, your children, your father, your mother. You forget everything because you're so absorbed in the kirtan. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is there. He will do, but he may not do the whole thing. You understand? Yes?
He said that one should read Chaitanya Bhagavat, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, this is what he says. I didn't say it. I just repeated what he says.
But what we are doing...
Yes.
What we are doing, we are first reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's just like coming in dissipation.
Huh? This is for the Bengali devotees. Because Bengali language is easy. Sanskrit is more difficult than Bengali. And your Hindi is close to Sanskrit. So you read Bhagavatam first, then... No. See, the whole idea here is that if we get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which we need the most, then it's easy to understand Radha Krishna Lila. This is the whole idea. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta says it's like this. Especially Chaitanya Bhagavat, 108 times, more than 108 times. He says everyone should read Chaitanya Bhagavat at least 100 times. By the time you finish it, you don't need to read anything. You already attained Gauranga Prem, Krishna Prem. Anything else? Yes. You don't have to turn it off. Yes.
Maharaj, I was reading in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav that during the Vyas Puja celebrations of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, is raw uncooked rice and clothes were given to the poor people. So considering the fact that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so opposed to mundane welfare work, considering the fact that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was very opposed to this mundane welfare work, so how I wonder how could he allow that? Like,
it is not. You see, within the hearts of everyone resides the Paramatma. So if you, let's say, if you give something to a person and he appreciates you for whatever you give to him, that person makes advancement. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you give alms to a person and the person appreciates what you were doing and he understood that, oh, a Vaishnava giving me something. It's like when you drive also in Delhi, there's so many beggars, right? And he sees you have a tilak and you give him a little bit of Mahaprasad. That person will make advancement and he'll become a devotee someday because he appreciates you being a Vaishnava, giving him something. Okay? Money, as much as possible, not good to give. But 1 rupee is okay. You know? But Prabhupada will do that also. He's giving donations to the pilgrims, to the beggars when he do pilgrimage. So the whole idea is that one should see that you're giving it to them because the super soul is there. It's just his duty to do it. Now whatever what they would do to that donation, you're out of it. Because sometimes they would sell these things like blankets or cloth, and then they will do whatever they want to do with that donation. So that's okay. If you have the means, why not? Just like in Vrindavan during cold seasons, some devotees, they like to do good deeds to the sadhus, and they will buy blankets and give them blankets. Now sometimes they accumulate so many blankets, they will go to the market and sell them and use the money for whatever they want to use. But after selling them, it's not your karma anymore. There's no karma there now. As we mentioned, the best welfare activity is giving them Krishna consciousness. Do you understand? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. You explained very nicely about Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Prabhupada. Maharaj, as you told that we should not try to see that you quoted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Prabhupada that we should not try to see Jagannath. We should act in such a way that Jagannath will see us.
Yes.
But, and you told that in DDs we should not go close, means we should not go close to DDs and see, take darshans, close darshan. You told that closeness comes through surrender and humility. So Ambarish Maharaj, it is a way in which we engage our eyes to
see the deities,
in purification of our eyes.
Right.
So how to reconcile these two things? Means Ambarish Maharaj, when Prabhupada used to quote that Ambarish Maharaj used to engage eyes in seeing.
So we are seeing the Lord, but don't see, seeing the Lord means doing service. Others, they just come here, have darshan, but they don't do any service. Do you understand? Others, they come here, just take prasad, they don't do any service. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very much against this. You know, even nowadays, they know when you come to ISKCON temple, you can have prasad. But then he stopped one time, one person. Why are you only coming for prasad? I don't see you doing any service and you still keep coming in for prasad. You should also do some service. So my point is, service attitude is more important than going and see the Lord. Because most often people come see the Lord, I want this, I want that, please give me this, oh my family has problem, please, 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 everything please, for myself, for myself. Do you understand? They don't really come to see the Lord and asking, oh Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your service. That is the real darshan. People push themselves so that they can ask the Lord for a favor for themselves. That is not darshan. Do you understand?
Maharaj, but like when we see in the Bhagavatam that four Kumaras were eager to take darshan of Lord Vishnu, there it is written that the Jay and Vijay obstructed them in their service. Darshan is also service in that sense.
They are they're very inquisitive. They're not there to do service, they're just there to see the Supreme Lord. So there's nothing wrong with that. But our point is that when we go see the Lord, it should be with love and devotion and ask them to have us increase our service. Our having darshan of the Lord is not for us to enjoy. If there is no service attitude, proper service attitude, that is more important. Do you understand the point? Huh? Anybody understand it?
But Maharaj, we see that in Abhishek, whenever we say deities, installation.
Yes.
So, it is more of like we relish the festival, we enjoy only when that is.
That's okay, but no, we're not there. That is service. Like Ratha Yatra. We're not there to enjoy, we're there to serve the Lord by hearing and chanting and dancing. The whole festival is meant to serve the Lord. It's not meant for enjoyment. That is the result of seva. You enjoy. What is the use of enjoying, trying to enjoy but don't want to do any service? You go to the festival to serve. You don't go to the festival to be served. Do you understand? Huh? No, but no, but now.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, that's all. But thank you. Anything else? Yes? So thank you very much. We pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. There are two words, Daya and Kripa. Daya and Kripa. Daya means mercy also, but Kripa is causeless mercy. Daya means whether you're a proper recipient or not, it's been given. That's Daya. It's like Daya Koromore. But Kripa is a little bit higher. Kripa means mercy, which is even if you don't deserve it, you receive it. Daya means you have to be qualified to receive the mercy. But Kripa is more higher, and so we should pray to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to give us his Kripa, his mercy. We don't deserve it. We're not qualified to receive it. But somehow, we are aspiring to receive that mercy so that we'll be able to continue on with our service. Without the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we're not going to be able to make it. So we need the Kripa, special causeless mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur today, so that we become more and more become like a devotee, increase our service towards the Supreme Lord. So thank you very much. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you.